Steelers Nation, how are you guys doing? Thank you guys so very much for joining us on yet another edition of the Steeler Culture Podcast, where we break down Pittsburgh Steelers football. And today, guys, we are going to be talking about certain positions, as a matter of fact, needy positions for the Pittsburgh Steelers heading into the 2026 NFL offseason. As on March 9th, which is 2 weeks from today of this recording on Monday afternoon, it will officially be the legal tampering period for the NFL and NFL teams to contact agents of certain NFL free agents where they can negotiate contracts and virtually agree to them with contracts on being a part of their new team before the actual legal date of March 11th, where it will be the new official league year of 2026.
Which means we could absolutely expect news and trades
and rumors
and all that sort. A ton of rumors, which, listen, man, just don't fall for nothing, man. Be careful out there. Don't fall for no false reports. Watch who you're following. All that. You know how it is, man. Yes. We're at that part of the offseason where
it's the one part of the offseason that I don't.
They got an engagement bait. They got a rate. You know how it is. You know how it is out there.
Just be careful. Just keep a close eye. Make sure that's the actual verified accounts. Like double check, double look. Make sure you're not fooled.
But hopefully within the next 2 weeks, we'll actually get a lot of NFL news because now it's starting to get into the exciting period. Not only is it 2 weeks away from the legal tampering period before the league year starts, we're in combine week, folks. Within the NFL combine week. There's all kinds of players and teams and GMs and all that stuff down there for the start of the draft season, essentially. This is where the draft and the journey begins, where it'll ultimately end over in Pittsburgh, which I cannot wait for.
Yeah, I look very much forward to that on April, pretty much the last month of April.
Yes, Steelers are projected to have 12 picks for the NFL draft in their hometown of Pittsburgh, right outside of Heinz Field. And some of these positions, in fact, maybe all of them, I would hope all of them with so many picks, that they're going to address all or most of these needs. Yes, there is free agency still for them to address, and I would hope that they bring in certain splashes and certain players at needed positions where they can add flexibility, may even trade up for a certain player at a needed position. Wide receiver, fingers crossed, just putting it out there.
Hey, why the hell not?
Why not? But some of these positions we got to talk about. I mean, some of them are pretty obvious, but there are others that I think aren't talked about enough, and maybe certain dark horse options early in the draft, especially with five picks in the top 100, which is incredible. It's definitely something the Steelers are going to have to treat themselves with.
And well, not just that, but they have a lot to work with, like the five picks within the top 100 selections and the amount of cap space that they already have heading into free agency. Plus, they could very well add upon more of that heading into free agency.
Hopefully.
They have a lot to work with, so hopefully they don't dilly-daddle and they don't do the bare minimum because they can't afford to do so.
Now, I'm going to put it out there as a Steelers fan. I don't expect them to make too many crazy moves. Like, I'm not expecting no drastic cuts or a blockbuster trade
signing. I don't think it's going to be like, what was it, the 2024 offseason where it was just like news left and right almost every day.
Yeah.
I don't expect that. I'm not anticipating that. I think Omar Khan has kind of ran its course with that one, but you never know when it comes to this.
Well, I just think they're comfortable where they're at, but, you know, obviously I hope that they do make some moves and we get a lot of news and we can actually fix some of these positions. So let's get right into it. Obviously, at number one, this is in no particular order, but at number one, you got to mention quarterback because literally, who's our starting quarterback as of now? It would have to be Mason. I know a lot of us want it to be well hired, and I think a lot of us want him to get the opportunity. But as of now, based off of who's on the roster being well hired and Mason Rudolph, I guess if the season started today, Mason is your starter. Oh boy, they're still waiting on word for Aaron Rodgers, and there's been up and down reports of they're trending upward in terms of Aaron Rodgers coming back. Then there's other reports saying that it's very less likely and apparently, it could take months. Like, no, we're not doing this.
Sounds very much like last offseason when it was just reports left and right, like with A-Rod. Oh, yeah, you know, he's interested. You know, he could play and whatnot. So it's like we're in the same boat again.
Well, it's either the Steelers or retirement. There's no other team. It's either going back with the Steelers with Mike McCarthy, or you're going to retire and then get the gold jacket in 5 years.
And you guys already know our opinion on the situation, but here we are playing the waiting game once again.
Well, here we are with the Steelers, yes, waiting and wanting Aaron Rodgers to come back. Them waiting on Aaron Rodgers is whatever. I just hope that this time around, they give Aaron Rodgers a certain time limit, a timetable of, all right, you have up until then, you have up until this amount of days to give us an answer, and if you can't make up your mind, we're going to move on. I don't know, dude,
the clock is ticking, dude. Like, we're 2 weeks away from the legal tampering period. Like they have to make a decision. Well, A-Rod's got to make a decision, but the Steelers got to give him a time frame.
Something.
They can't be playing this waiting game BS. It's unnecessary.
Right.
Like, you have to move forward. You have to move on. You can't be the guy that's just waiting for this player.
So, for me, it's either going to be Aaron Rodgers or it's going to be Will Howard and a potential free agent or a draftee. That's the way I look at it. It's either going to be Aaron Rodgers and they're going to try to make one more run A-Rod like they did last year, or they're going to hopefully, what I want them to do is go an experimental year, a developmental year at the position, know that they just got to take 1 year at that role and go with a young guy and take a chance, and Lord knows what the outcome's going to be, but that's the exciting part about it. Go that direction. Go with giving the chance to Will Howard, bringing some competition via free agency, or go via the draft. Now, I'm hoping that via the draft, they don't draft a quarterback too high. I do not want them taking a quarterback in round one. No. There is not any other quarterback first round worthy guy in this draft. So I wouldn't draft a quarterback round one. Day two is more likely because they have so many picks. Even still, I think certain guys are a stretch, and I would much rather fix other needs with those many picks on day two, those top 100 picks, especially in day two. I would much rather just fulfill so many other needs. Day three, by all means, because at that point, you're not really taking much of a risk. You already know what you're kind of going to get, and it's not much of a waste, really.
And it's a depth guy. It's like, whatever.
Right, but it's also competition. It's interesting competition.
It can be. But I think the only guy in free agency that they could really look at as far as a guy that could bring competition to a guy like Will Howard is probably Malik Willis.
That's it.
Malik Willis is really the only guy with possible upside. I mean, we know his story and how he was coming out of Liberty and the connection with him and Tomlin and the Steelers. That didn't happen. We went with you-know-who back in 2022.
Yeah.
That didn't end well. But Malik Willis, I mean, his time from Tennessee, we knew he was raw. We knew that, you know, he needed some development. He needed some time to work on his mechanics because the talent was there. And he showcased that when he was traded over to Green Bay, and just the development and just Malik Willis from Tennessee compared to his his Packer days was night and day. And just, you know, we were live for that Ravens and Packers Saturday night game and just seeing how Malik Willis did. I mean, that's probably the best Malik Willis has ever looked ever in his NFL career.
Sure.
Like his throws were on point. His decision-making was good. Hell of a scrambler, can shed off sacks and whatnot.
Like
Willis really stood out.
Look at what sitting on the bench and going from a poor coaching staff to a good coaching staff can do for a quarterback development. I mean, we've seen that with so many other quarterbacks that are also in free agency. Mac Jones was one, but he's going to go back to San Francisco. He did well filling in for Brock Purdy, but he's not going to be free agent. I wasn't really high for Mac Jones anyway.
No.
Daniel Jones, like the Colts have no choice but to give him the franchise tag, because if they don't, are they really going to go with Anthony Richardson? It hasn't worked. And no, I don't want the Steelers to trade for Anthony Richardson. No, we're not doing that.
I'm not going down
that. That's like
pool.
A more hurt Justin Fields.
More raw Justin Fields.
It is.
That would be Justin Fields 2.0, but more raw.
Yes.
Worse. It would be worse.
Now, you look at a guy like Sam Darnold and how he's developed and he's progressed via from team to team to team, and obviously he just won the Super Bowl leading the Seahawks in his first year, right? Could that be Anthony Richardson? Listen, I'm not saying it can't with proper coaching, perhaps, but one, he can't stay healthy. Two, he's still raw. And seeing what Shane Steichen has done with a guy like Daniel Jones, if Anthony Richardson can't get anything going with him at head coach, I don't know if anywhere else is going to be much better, especially the Steelers. I don't want Anthony Richardson. I don't want to trade for a guy like Kyler Murray or Derek Carr's being rumored or any of these other names. Just go with a young guy in free agency. Go with a Will Howard you drafted in the sixth round last year. Go with a potential late day two, early day three quarterback that's potentially available. Who that is, it could be Klubnik, it could be Drew Allaire. I'm not high on neither of those guys, but if you want to take them at that certain pick, you're not wasting too much.
No.
And you're bringing in a camp body. So with that, I wouldn't mind. But going for a big move at quarterback, like in the first round, where there's not really anyone else worthy outside of Fernando Mendoza, or trading for a quarterback with an incredibly ridiculous contract that's not even worth that kind of financial ground, I wouldn't do that for the Steelers. I wouldn't. Just take a year where you just experiment at that position. You go with a developmental year. The team is young enough that you got to keep that position young. Whatever the outcome is going to be, at least you know in 2027 you have a greater and better chance at drafting your guy, knowing that that class is more stacked and their options are more of greater than the last two draft classes combined, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree on that. Yeah.
But we'll see what they do. Quarterback, I'm not too worried about yet. I know people are questioning, well, who's going to be the quarterback for the 2026 season, you know, with McCarthy at head coach and what appears to be an upgraded coaching staff. We'll see when we actually get to September football. Obviously, you know, TJ Watt, Cam Hayward still on the roster and their mission to win a ring for them. And the Steelers, you know, they don't like rebuilding, so they're always going to go with the win it now approach, which they've been in for a long time. It hasn't worked out. And that has kind of put them in the position where they're at the quarterback position because they refuse to take a certain down year at that role or a down year in their eyes. To me, it's just take the developmental year. Take the 1 year where you got to go young there, where you're not putting too much into it, but maybe just seeing what you got in certain guys you've brought in via the draft last year and potentially in free agency.
Yeah.
And then just mold that entire position with weapons, like build the team around that, and then – we'll see what we have at the position for this year. If it's nothing too crazy or too drastic, then you know what you got to do in 2027. I don't think that's a terrible approach. Some people might view that as, you know, a downgrade, or they might view that as, you know, not really the best move to go. Frankly, I think the Steelers need it, and I think it adds just a little bit of excitement. So,
what they've been doing for how many years now, it just they haven't gone forward. They haven't really taken that next step. They haven't gone the extra mile. That needle hasn't been moved.
No.
And if you just keep doing it and then like the same end result is the same, then it's like, what are we doing here?
Right.
So it's like a different approach can't hurt. But I don't anticipate the Steelers to really do a different approach because, I mean, the hiring of Mike McCarthy was basically them showcasing that.
Yeah.
They don't want to do that. But it can't hurt to do one simple year. Give Will Howard a shot. You still have Mason under contract. Have him be in that competition. If you want to look for a guy with some potential or to give the chance to Malik Willis. But he's the only guy in free agency I would look at.
Yeah, because there's no Sam Darnold-like quarterback in free agency where they had an incredible year last season and then you're going to give him Boku Bucks to maybe make a run. There's not that kind of player in free agency this year. There's not.
No.
And there's no one in the draft that really opens my eyes like, hey, we got to get this guy or trade up for this guy or take this guy at 21. No. No. I'm not too worried about quarterback for this season yet. I think we ought to worry about filling the team around that position and then going to get that guy. You know what I mean? Next position, frankly, this is my number one, wide receiver. We don't have a number two wide receiver. I would even say we don't have a number one wide receiver. I don't think DK is a number one receiver. He needs to benefit off of somebody beside him. He needs to benefit from an X. And DK, as the X this year, was a little disappointing. And I'm not going to put all the blame on him because the scheme was very limited. The offensive scheme has been incredibly limited for a long time. A lot of players, even George Pickens, was underutilized. And we saw what Pickens did in Dallas with a upgraded quarterback and offensive scheme.
Of course.
So I'm not going to put all the blame on DK. But the drop passes and the shenanigans he pulled at the end of the season, not worth $33 million. It's not.
No. Not at all.
So he needs somebody to benefit off of. Opposite. He needs an X to benefit off of. Who that's going to be, I am praying and hoping that is somebody the Steelers trade up for in the draft or by some miracle chance that I don't think there is any chance of one of the top three receivers drops in the draft. I want Mekhi Lemon. I want Jordan Tyson. Or I want Carnell Tate. You have to trade up at least in the top 13 to get them. And I think the Steelers have the capital to do it.
No, they definitely do. I mean, you have 12 picks. And the idea from last offseason was that, oh, you know, they're trying to build up picks to trade up for a quarterback. Well, that idea seems to have kind of backfired because there's not a quarterback that the Steelers should trade up for in the first round.
But why not shift that to the wide receiver position where that, oh my God. Here we are, another offseason.
Dude, this is a third straight year. Third straight year we're talking about, the Steelers still need to fulfill the wide receiver position.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no secret. Omar Khan has just not really done a great job of fulfilling this position whatsoever.
And I'm not saying like he hasn't tried. Like, he tried with Ayuk. He tried with Jacoby Myers. He tried with Rashid Shaheed, and they all fell flat. Here's the thing, though. You can try all you want. If you're not succeeding, you're not doing your job. Ayuk decided to take the money and the extension with the 49ers, which was a bullet dodge by the Steelers. I will say that. Shaheed and and Myers. Jacoby Myers didn't want to come here, which, I mean, what does that say about the GM, the building a team, and, you know,
the roster and whatnot, and
pretty
the coaching.
Much, and where the team doesn't, that player doesn't want to come to that team.
Yeah.
Interesting. But yeah, he's tried, but he hasn't succeeded. And this is finally an offseason where he can actually go make a move at the position, because he actually has the capital to trade up for one, or to draft one, or to spend on one, or all the above. I would absolutely sign a wide receiver in free agency while also double dipping at wide receiver in the draft, including trading up for one. I think that's what the Steelers have to do. Can they settle at 21 and take like a Casey Conception or Omar Cooper or Denzel Boston? Sure. But I'll be real with you, bro. That drop off from the top three is kind of significant.
It's a little bit. I mean, receiver's still stacked, but compared to those top three, I get what you mean.
I want one of those top three guys.
And if the Steelers want to finally fulfill wide receiver, then that's what they need to do. That's what they should do. You have 12 picks. I don't think you necessarily need to keep all of them. If they do, it's not really that big of a deal, because you're fulfilling a lot of positions and a lot of depth.
They need to do, especially with all the free agents they have.
But at the same time, all those picks that you have, you can afford to trade some of those away, and even next year's capital if you have to, in order to trade up to get one of the top three wide receivers to finally fulfill wide receiver.
Yes.
And to have a guy paired with DK Metcalf, to which DK was the only guy that Omar Khan traded for, that in Omar Khan's eyes, it worked to prevail because he traded for a wide receiver. He fixed wide receiver.
Well, at the time he did, because we still had Pickens on the roster. Then he traded Pickens away 2 weeks after the draft.
After not selecting a wide receiver to replace Pickens.
Yes. So this is the offseason where our wide receiver troubles have to end. Please, no. I beg of you, Omar. This is a third offseason, again, where we're going with wide receiver troubles and a hole at wide receiver.
And I'm not looking at Omar Khan to really look to trade for a top wide receiver anymore. I think that experiment is done and gone, because obviously that has not prevailed.
No.
He's tried and it hasn't worked. It hasn't prevailed. It's time to go a different direction. I think that direction is free agency. I don't mind signing one of the top free agents. You got a guy like Alec Pierce, who's going to be a top wide receiver target out there.
He's going to get a hell of a market.
You even got Shaheed. I don't know. Maybe he's changed his mind. I have no idea. I'm just throwing his name in the hat right there.
I don't think Seattle lets him go.
I don't think they would either.
You do realize Seattle has a lot of cap space to spend too,
right?
Yeah,
I do understand, yes. But I'm just throwing his name out there. You still have Juwan Jennings. You have Romeo Doubs. If you even want a slot option with great hands, Wandale Robinson, right? Like, you have options in free agency. Michael Pittman might even be a free agent, because I'm hearing rumors that the Colts might cut him to try to retain Jones and Pierce.
Right.
I don't know what that situation is, but it's just a rumor. I'll throw his hat in there. Just to let you know, like, there are names in free agency, but I don't think that's where Omar Khan should stop.
Or if he wanted to, he can bring back Calvin Austin at a very team-friendly deal.
Could do that as far as depth purposes go.
Depth then as a three. Calvin's a three. And I would anticipate Mike McCarthy to run a lot more 11 personnel than Arthur Smith dreamed of. So, yes, we do need a wide receiver three. We need a wide receiver one and a three. DK can be the two, and he would benefit absolutely off of whoever we have at those positions. As long as you get like a technical route runner as the X, somebody that's explosive and create plays on his own, right? Take pressure off of DK. Then you know what? You might actually have a receiving core that's finally fixed. That is the number one position, in my opinion, Omar Khan needs to 100% solve and fill. I would bring in up to three or four new names at that position. I would. I don't mind letting Calvin walk, as much as I like Calvin. I respect him. I don't mind letting him walk. We still got Roman. We got Skowronek. We got DK. You need two receivers in the draft. You need one or two in free agency. And then your wide receiver troubles are fine.
That whole receiving room is revamped right there.
You have the capital. You have the draft picks. Get her done.
Just finally fix it, man. Just fulfill the wide receiver position.
Staying with the offense. Left guard, Isaac Seumalo. He might be back. I don't know. They might view him as the veteran, as the leader, as he was the past couple years, because literally everybody else on our line is in contract, rookie deals.
Yep.
So perhaps they bring him back because of that veteran presence. But the issue is, how much longer is he going to play with him aging? And you're going to have to fix that position regardless. Now, could they still bring him back and then draft, say, a fourth-round guard? Sure. Mason McCormick was a fourth-round guard. He wasn't anticipated to play so soon in his rookie season. Now he's been a great starter for us the last 2 years. So that could be a situation they look at. Maybe that's something they do as well, where they bring in a younger guard at that left spot and still draft somebody. at that position for depth or for competition or whatnot.
Very much possible.
That's probably the only position on the line they really have to worry about. If you want to bring up offensive tackle, potentially, because we don't know if he's going, Omar Khan, we don't know if he's going to exercise Broderick Jones' fifth-year option. Dylan Cook, he's going to be back, so he'll be there for competition, as he should, because he's definitely earned it. Fatanu stayed healthy. You might want to bring back extra depth at that right tackle spot, but to me, I think the only position you really got to worry about on that line is actually left guard, which is actually, I think that'd be an easy position for Omar Khan to fill. There are some plentiful guards in free agency. There are some nice guards in the second or third, fourth round you guys want to select. I mean, he's definitely got endless options there as well.
Yeah, and the trenches seems to be where he's obviously heavily focused, of course. Yeah. A big part of Andy Weidel, too, from his Philly days. And it seems to have worked for the most part. You know what I'm saying? So it seems like one of those positions that Khan hopefully and I'm sure will fulfill. If they want to bring back Sam Malo for, say, a short-term extension, like 1, maybe 2 years, and then you have a developmental guard and whatnot, then by all means.
Right.
I don't see no problem in that.
No, I think that's one of those positions that I am confident that Omar Khan is going to fill, whether that's before free agency or during free agency. Like, I don't know exactly what other positions they might go out and look for, but I think guard would be one of them. So I'm gonna think that they're going to try to fulfill that hole very early, whether that's with, say, Amalu or with somebody else they want to bring in via free agency. Hopefully spend some bucks on that line. Defensive tackle, moving to the defense and staying with the trenches. Defensive tackle, more so nose tackle. Like, we have our ends, we have our three techs, and Benton, we have Harmon, we have Hayward, who I am confident will be back. We have the youth there. We have Y.A. Black, who played a lot of everywhere, really. He played everywhere from the O to the 3.
That's right.
But we still don't have that nose tackle. We don't. Like, you could view Y.A. Black as that, but they played him a lot more at end than they did nose tackle. And technically, when he played nose tackle, his tape wasn't that good. Now, granted, he was a fifth-round rookie, and, you know, he saw playing time early because Derek Harmon got hurt at the end of preseason. So perhaps it was a bit of an early shock for him. And it was his rookie season. And overall, I think Y.A. did a solid job as a fifth-round rookie from Iowa. For his role and where he was selected, I think he did just fine. In his second year, could he make that leap? Sure. But you still need to fill that nose tackle role. You need that gap filler. For obvious rundowns, for obvious goal-to-go situations, you need that nose. You need that big body. You need that frame in there. I don't know if they're going to play YA there. They seem like they're very confident keeping him at end. Maybe he's going to eventually replace Isaiah Loudermilk's long role that he's had for a long time. Seemed like he did this season. They need to fill that nose tackle role. They could do that in free agency. They could do that via the draft. They could trade for somebody potentially. That is one of the more underrated positions they still have to fix. Like, they've invested in the trenches, yes. Benton had his best season to date. Derek Harmon had a great rookie year. Cam Hayward, dare I say, he's coming off his best season yet. At his age, it's incredible. But you still need to gain youth there. You still need to fulfill that nose role. You need to add more bodies. You need to add more youth. And what Omar Khan, Andy Waddle has done the past number of years, you know that they prioritize the trenches. So I'm hoping that they view the nose tackle role as still a very needed position that we got to fill. Bring in all these other names, bring all these other bigger bodies, and let's finally fill that gaping, that gap-filling guy at that defensive line position.
Big time. I mean, considering you have a lot of depth pieces at that, too, that are going to be pending free agents, I don't know how many they are looking to bring back. You got Dean Lowry, who's going to be a free agent. You got Daniel Equale, who's going to be a free agent. Loudermilk, of course. I mean, you got some names that are appearing to possibly be walking away. So adding some depth, I mean, it's always been a thing about the Steelers, about bolstering the defensive line, bolstering the depth there, which has always been a good thing. But, you know, trying to fulfill that, especially at nose tackle, like you mentioned, it can't hurt for the Steelers to go out their way and look at options out there.
For sure. Sticking with the defense, cornerback.
Number two corner, man.
I swear, for the last several years, all we've had at corner is aging Reynolds.
You want to go back to Patrick Peterson?
Patrick, before that, Levi Wallace.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
Levi, he was so bad.
Not good. Not
Levi
great.
Wallace, Patrick Peterson, Dante Jackson. Like, come on,
yeah,
man.
Darius Slay, who didn't last half the season.
Darius Slay, like, no. I don't want no more aging Reynolds at corner, man. I really wanted them to fulfill that position last year with so much youth and a lot of experience at that position and all the options we had in free agency. They didn't.
No, they did the bare minimum.
Can they finally fill the number two cornerback role? We have our cornerback one in JPJ. He had a great season.
And is without a doubt due for a well-deserved extension.
100%.
Like, considering how long and how many times you experiment with cornerbacks to find your lockdown guy, you finally have him. You can't let him walk away.
No.
It'd be a mistake.
No, they need to extend him, and they need to get someone opposite of him. That could be James Pierre. He's a free agent. They could bring him back. I'm all for that. Same thing with Asante Samuel Jr. You want to bring them in. They're both very cheap. They're both potential roster locks or just competition in general. They could go in free agency. There's plenty of free agent corners that you could bring in. They're a little more on the upper side, which is kind of the direction we don't want them to go. They could very well go youth in the draft. I think corners are a very good class, honestly. I think there's a couple good corners you could select very early day two if you really wanted to. They need to fulfill the cornerback two spot. They do. I'm all for bringing James Pierre back and giving him the spot. If you want to draft someone early, you know, not have to force him into that role so quick, then, you know, that's kind of that little gap before you eventually give him the keys to that spot, build up some competition perhaps for camp, for preseason. That's always a great thing at that position.
But yeah, just stack the cornerback position, really.
But cornerback, too, has been such a hole for so long. Like, there's no one at cornerback, too, that we've had the past number of years that has really made a significant improvement or made a significant difference from the guys they brought in via free agency. In fact, I'd say one of the better cornerback twos we've had the past number of years has been James Pierre, just based off his performance last season.
Mm-hmm.
We need to fulfill the cornerback two role, please.
And you can do that by bringing back Pierre. You can do that by bringing in Samuel, and those two can compete for that. I feel like with the way that both of them played, I feel like that they have certainly earned that right to compete for the number two cornerback. But again, if you want to go into the draft and bring in a guy early, with considering you have 5 picks in the top 100 again, you want to draft or use one of those picks to draft a cornerback and have him involved with the cornerback position. I mean, like, just right there, I mean, you got a good quality amount of players right there to compete for just the number two cornerback position, but as well as, you know, providing valuable and very, very good depth at the cornerback position for your secondary.
Absolutely.
I don't think you can beat that.
No, I mean, there's a couple younger options if you really wanted to with some decent pedigree, at least based on where they were selected. There's Eric Stokes, who's a free agent. There's Greg Newsome, who, I mean, I know his contract's kind of rough, but isn't he going to get released by the Jags after they traded him away? Well, I mean, that corner-to-corner trade they had, I don't know if they're going to try to keep him. That could be a question mark either, but that's one of those more probably popular options based off of all the other free agents you have out there, where it's Trevon Diggs.
Which one surprised me considering the McCarthy connection. As a matter of fact, I think when McCarthy was first Dallas's head coach, he was actually his first selection, or one of his first selections at that.
Yeah.
Back in 2020. So that one surprised me.
Well, not only Mike McCarthy, but so many other coaches that McCarthy's brought in under the system. I mean, I think Joe Witt has some connection with Trevon Diggs, so that I wouldn't be shocked whatsoever if that's where they go. I really wouldn't be shocked at all. You already know how they view that connection and that chemistry.
You gotta have all their buddies back together, right?
Right. There's Jamel Dean, who's, you know, on the, you know, the higher side of 29.
He's 29 years old, but I mean, he's always been a very dependable and great corner for Tampa Bay for many, many years.
Right. If you want a slot option, because honestly, we got to talk about the slot position too.
Oh my God.
We had Jalen Ramsey down there at the start of the season. He did real good at slot corner, and then we had to move him to safety because of all the injuries, where I think Ramsey played better personally. And then we had Brandon Echols at slot corner, and Brandon Echols had one of those up and down years where he made plentiful good plays and special teams at that slot role. He also bounced outside a few times. And then there's the playoff game where you can't get that out of your head. What he did to Christian Kirk, what Christian Kirk did to him, I mean, it was just not good. Not good film whatsoever.
No, Christian Kirk was the new Chris Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So could they view slot corner as another position to look at? Because there's an Amik Robertson. There's plenty of good slot corners in the draft. There's a D'Angelo Pons.
Oh, yeah. Out of Indiana, man. Oh, hell yeah.
That would be a home run selection.
Round two, maybe?
Potentially. Round two, right? I mean, I don't know if he's going to make it that far.
Hey, you never know, man. You know, draft boards are different this time of year.
They are crazy.
It's like, yeah, slot option, you know, it's one of those positions that you kind of have to keep an eye on because all you have is Echols at the moment. Exactly. As of now, who's the backup? Would that be Ramsey or would that be Dante Kent? But he hasn't played yet. He didn't play at all his rookie season.
No.
And he's a seventh. He was a seventh rounder last year.
We obviously still have Corey Trice under the roster, but I'm more worried about him staying healthy before even making the roster.
Exactly.
I hope he stays healthy, man. I really do. But, man, you know, it's just know, all the injuries he suffered, like...
I don't know, dude.
I don't know, man. It's just one of the, it's just one of those picks where, like, yeah, we got great value out of him in the seventh round. And then, you know, he got that pick versus the Broncos. What were you, was that 2024?
Four, yeah.
On Bo Nix in the end zone?
That's right.
And then he got hurt. And then he came back and had to guard Jamar Chase. And then year three came around and he got hurt again. He was out all season.
He tried to come back and he re-aggravated the injury. They didn't get to play.
Yeah, it's like, all right, can you stay healthy, please? Because the potential's there. But he can't stay healthy. So they got to look at it in that regard, too. I wouldn't hate the Steelers double-dipping at corner themselves.
No.
They have all the picks to do it. If you want to go with an outside boundary guy and then go for a slot option later on, day three perhaps. You
can definitely do that.
By all means. That's kind of how I'm viewing the cornerback position. Because, yeah, cornerback two is probably the bigger need there. But you also got to mention the slot role because Brandon Echols, he's not going to be here forever. And frankly, we could definitely use some competition there.
Yeah, and just like cornerback too, the slot position has just been a rotating door of veteran players. And obviously, they just have not been good and they haven't stuck around.
No.
I mean, I can name the names right here, but we'd be here all day. So it's just like those two positions in the secondary, I mean, they got to look as far as depth goes and as competition goes just to really secure the secondary right there with cornerback two and slot.
I don't know if they go defense in the first round. I really don't. But honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if they take corner so early. I would more so take corner very early day two. You have so many picks that you would absolutely be more well off taking a corner day two. Unless there's someone, like say the Steelers stay at 21 and there's someone that is just so good you can't pass on.
Like best player available?
Yeah, well, the Steelers, they passed on two great corners in the past couple draft classes. They passed on Christian Gonzalez for Broderick Jones, where they trade up with the Pats and got Broderick Jones, didn't take Christian Gonzalez. And then the year after, they had Trey Fatanu on the board. They took him over Quinyon Mitchell, which, listen, shout out to Troy Fatanu. I think he had a great second year staying healthy. I think Broderick's coming off his great year. And frankly, we still got to wait a little more to see how those positions are going to progress. And I'm very happy with JPJ as cornerback one.
Yeah.
But now you're still at cornerback with it being a needed position. Could they take that early? Could they take down the first round? Maybe they like the kid Terrell from Clemson. I also like Chris Johnson a lot, perhaps day two. Yep. Not the running back, the corner.
Yeah, not CJ2K, no.
No. Like I mentioned, D'Angelo Pons. I mean, there's Malik Muhammad. There's so many others in day two that you could potentially take to fulfill that cornerback role. I mean, I think the options are a little bit more beneficial in the draft than they are free agency because this year's free agency list in the cornerback position, I don't think even touches last year's. I thought last year's had plenty full of options.
Oh, it was more stacked.
And unfortunately, this Joe's went for the oldest guy out there in Slay. And this year, you have some decent options out there, just not as crazy as last year. I mean,
it can't hurt to do your due diligence and just see, you know, what the interest is with what the players wanting to come to Pittsburgh. But
sure,
even then, it's just, you know, the fact of the matter is do your due diligence, look at the positions, but at the same time, keep an eye out for the draft considering how many picks you have. But no doubt about it, they got to fulfill both outside cornerback two, and slot position.
Right. I mean, we'll see what the Steelers do there. But yeah, I think cornerback, in no particular order, I think would be like a top three need for the Steelers, frankly. Because it's just one of those needs where we have JPJ there, which is great. We actually have a number one lockdown boundary guy there. Now we need the guy beside him. We need to fulfill that, especially in a division that is loaded with receiver.
Yes.
Oh, a conference.
God. Yep.
That is loaded with receiver.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think cornerback is definitely a position that we have to fix, not only in the slot, but as well as at the boundary as well. Another underrated one, inside linebacker. I don't know what the Steelers are going to do with Patrick Queen. I am all for releasing him and saving 13-plus mil. Then you're without your green dot and you're without your number one linebacker that's been there every game since he signed for you, but he hasn't lived up to that contract. Who do you fulfill that role with? Do they keep Patrick Queen one more year? and then potentially bring in someone in free agency, or better yet, bring in someone day two via the draft to work under him in rotation to potentially take that spot. Maybe they don't want to keep Queen, but they realize that the position's very thin this year, so they're going to keep Queen, but potentially draft his successor in the draft. I'm all for that as well. But we need another linebacker. We need depth. We need a better rotational guy, and we need somebody to eventually take Queen's role. I don't think Queen is going to be the guy that's going to stick around here for the long haul. I think he's going to be a one-contract guy, unless they want to extend him. But in my opinion, he hasn't earned that yet. Perhaps with a new scheme and a new defensive coordinator, he might. And I'm all for giving him the opportunity as well. But we still need depth. We still need that emergency. You know, you need that rotational piece. You kind of need that contingency plan if Queen just doesn't work out. Which, to me, he hasn't. I'll give him credit for staying healthy and being there and being that communicator. But outside of that, him making plays, there hasn't been enough to warrant the highest paid free agent steals I've ever brought in. We need another linebacker.
No, and I haven't been pleased overall with Queen's work. Like, I'm thankful that he's been able to stay healthy and his availability has been there consistently, but his play has not. I just don't think it has lived up to the contract. You know, you still have Peyton Wilson, of course, coming into his third year, but for some reason, the old regime, the old coordinator, Terrell Austin, even Tomlin, I throw his name in there too. For some reason, they limited the ever-living hell out of him.
Yeah.
But even then, he still led the team last year in tackles. He was first on the team in tackles while still being heavily limited in the second half of the season. Which is like, I don't know why you limit a guy of that potential, of that speed, of that strength, of that type of work ethic that he brings to the table to special teams. You had him primarily play special teams to continuously play Malik Harrison, who is not as athletic as Peyton. He's not even half as athletic as Peyton Wilson.
No.
It just didn't make sense to me. Even if you wanted Malik Harrison in there to stop the run, I feel like Wilson was just good enough to do that. I mean, last offseason, he put on 10 pounds of muscle to help work on his run defense. And I feel like in the second half of the season, he really worked on that. And I remember the Vikings game, he had a great performance. He made that great stop on Jordan Addison when he ran his ass off to stop the touchdown. I remember the Colts game. He looked great in that game, got an interception off Daniel Jones. If you were to cut Patrick Queen and save the money, you could give the green dot and the opportunity to Peyton Wilson under Patrick Graham as a defensive coordinator.
I don't hate that, because I think we need that athleticism and we need, you know, that kind of that coverage ability at that linebacker spot, which Peyton Wilson has. He needs more playing time, and I'm still very high on him. Are they going to give him that role at such a young age with...
Well, there's a reason that they drafted him.
I agree.
There's a reason why they drafted him.
I agree.
Like the medicals panned out, and the medicals were obviously a huge red flag coming out of college. But even then, like, he's been healthy. You want to talk about availability? Peyton Wilson has been healthy. I don't think he's really missed a game in his 2 years as a Steeler. He's been on the field, and even when he's made a mistake, he's learned from it. He tries to get better almost every snap. You kind of just get that sense. And just every training camp, too, the past two training camps, he's been one of the first guys to step on the practice field because of just his work ethic and how consistent he is about that.
Right.
He's a guy that wants to be given that opportunity, that wants to thrive, that wants to help this team win no matter what. So when it comes to him being given the opportunity, I don't mind that. You want to talk about experiments, right? We talk about experiments at quarterback.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think it hurts to do it at inside linebacker with a young stud in Peyton Wilson, because if he didn't have the injuries, there's no doubt about it, he'd be a first-round selection.
Sure.
He's first round talent. I mean, we saw the tape, we saw the film. I mean, he just flashed on the football field.
Oh, I know.
I think he still brings that to the table if he's under the right leadership and under the right scheme and the coordinator. That could be Patrick Graham. We're gonna have to wait till September.
Sure. Same thing could be said for Patrick Queen as well, because I mean, you know, listen, maybe a new scheme's gonna bring out the best out of Queen, but I'm all for saving the money and giving the opportunity to a Peyton Wilson. He wouldn't be new to the green dot. He's not as experienced, and he's only done it in like preseason games, where he's done it when Patrick Queen would get, you know, little bumps and bruises on the field, and he and Wilson would have to take over the green dot duties from time to time. But it's not something he's a stranger to. So it's something that they could definitely give him. And frankly, I want to see him get a much bigger role, and I think he will. It's just how big of a role or what his responsibilities are going to be. He's one of those team players where no matter where he's going to play, he's going to make the most out of it, even if that is special teams. Take him off special teams, put him at linebacker. Queen could stick around, but we still need someone else, and we need a potential replacement. So I would hope the Steelers look in that direction where, yeah, they might have Queen for one more year because they don't want to make that position so thin. But you got to think of life after Queen potentially. They might be viewing Queen as an extension candidate. They might not. Either way, we need another linebacker.
Yeah, a true third guy at that. And that could be, you know, in the later rounds of the NFL draft. I mean, there's some capable linebackers out there. I mean, one of the names that really catches my eye as far as one of the later day two selections is Jacob Rodriguez out of Texas Tech.
Yeah, he's a playmaker.
Yeah.
Like, the guy is an absolute playmaker, bro. The guy just knows how to just turn the ball over. He knows how to sniff the football. He's very good in coverage. Like, that is easily one of my early draft crushes is Jacob Rodriguez. But if they want to look in free agency, let's look at the free agency name, bro. There's not really anything crazy. There's Bobby Wagner, who's going to be 36 by the season start. Is he going to stick around? Is he going to stay in Washington? Is he going to retire? Logan Wilson was just recently cut by the Cowboys. He was traded away from the Bengals. He's on the wrong side of the linebacker position at his age and, frankly, hasn't done much since his early years in Cincinnati.
Yeah, no.
I'm trying to get younger at that position, by the way. Levante David, another long-time veteran that's been just kind of like an ageless wonder. Same thing with the Demario Douglas of the Saints. But they're aging guys. And credit to them, bro. They've been playing the position for a long time, and they're great communicators, and they keep making plays, man. They really are. But they're older guys. Do you really want to go for that? I don't. Kenneth Murray's the next guy on the list here, according to the Spot Rack Free Agency list. Bro, he didn't work out as a first-round pick for, what was it, Tennessee?
I thought it was the Chargers.
Maybe it was
the Chargers, but then he went to Tennessee, and he just been, what was he, a Cowboy last year?
Yeah.
He just been, you know, jumping around and tossed around to several other teams as just that kind of fill-in, but he's not really the guy. He's not really the replacement.
The options here in free agency aren't crazy. N'Kobe Dean, maybe?
If you want to look for a depth piece, yep. I mean, there might be a solid depth piece out there. But as far as a starter, you're probably gonna have to pay some big bucks here.
Most likely, I would think. You know, same thing with like a Leo Chenault, who I just don't think is gonna leave the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are gonna try everything they can to keep him because he's one of their more dominant guys on that defense.
He's only 25 at that too.
Honestly, I wouldn't mind that at all. Bring another Wisconsin cat over. Why not? Right?
Can't hurt, right?
Otherwise, yeah. I mean, Devin Bush. No, we're good.
Yeah.
No. I know he had a great year under Jim Schwartz, but no, I am not for bringing back Devin Bush. Yeah, inside linebacker stand, folks. It really is. The options aren't crazy. Thus, Patrick Queen might stick around, but that's where we got to draft somebody in day two or day three to potentially build up or just be a rotational guy. Even if they want to keep Queen around, we need someone else there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just, again, inside linebacker, one of those positions just to keep in the back of your mind, just keep an eye out for, you know, because when it comes to the future, you never know. So it doesn't hurt to have an insurance policy at that.
And lastly, folks, free safety. The reason I say this is because I don't think Ramsey's going to go anywhere. I think they're going to keep him. Nothing's guaranteed on his contract no more. But he does have a huge cap hit. The Steelers could restructure and make most of his base salary into a signing bonus, thus lessening his cap hit. They could just cut him flat out and save almost $20 million. Then you have nobody at free safety.
Literally nobody.
So what do you do? But you also got to look at this. Ramsey, yeah, I mean, he did good at free safety, and that's potentially going to extend his career. But how much longer are you going to have him at free safety with his age? Could they view free safety as, all right, let's go younger. Let's bring in some depth or compete or just have somebody else at that position. Frankly, we could use another safety. Because let's say Ramsey goes down. Who's your safeties?
It's Sebastian Castro.
Yeah, we don't have depth.
As of right now, he's the lone depth piece.
We don't have depth. So, yeah, we do need another safety. Maybe they take that position somewhere late day two. Maybe they take someone early day three as depth. Maybe they bring in a free agent. There's options definitely to bring in some bodies. To me, I'm looking at it like this. If they want to keep Ramsey, fine. Not at that cap hit. That's got to be lessened a little bit. But if you want to keep Ramsey, fine. I don't hate that whatsoever. But you need depth and you need youth there where you got to think of life after Ramsey as well. I'm not saying there's no rush to put the rookie in if you want to keep Ramsey. But you still need that depth. You need that rotational guy. You want to run dime packages a lot. You want to run some sub packages like Patrick Graham really likes to do. You need an extra safety. We need safety depth bad. Could they bring back Kyle Duggar? They could. Could they bring back Jabril Peppers? They could. Could we get better? Yes. Yes, we could. And for agency, Cameron Curl, I think, would be probably your best option. From the Rams, he did really good. I mean, he was good even in his Washington days. Late round selection, built his way up and definitely has earned himself a big contract. I really would like Cameron Curl as one of those splash moves for the Steelers at the safety position. Reed Blankenship's another one. But are the Eagles going to want to let him go? Reed Blankenship is very underrated. But are they going to want to let him walk? They already have so many free agents. Who are they going to let walk? Who are they going to keep?
Yeah, they really got to pick and choose exactly who they want to keep. I know they're going to have Dallas Goedert as a free agent. And, you know, yeah, losing him would be terrible. You know, because
they got to pick and choose who they want.
Yeah,
man.
They do. Because they got to work on safety. They got to work on tight end. Guard, potentially. You know, that's another option there. So it's like, Eagles got to make some decisions.
Yeah, there's Brian Cook of the Chiefs. There's, I hear people bringing his name up a lot, Jaquan Brisker. I like Brisker. I always liked him even from his Penn State days. The issue is he's a lot like Elliott. We already have Elliott.
We don't need two Elliotts.
No.
Brisker's a damn good football player. He's a hell of a contributor for Chicago. And I don't know if Chicago's even going to want to let him walk because he's going to be 27 and he's still a young cat at his age and his position. Chicago's not going to want to let him walk, but if he does, I mean, you don't necessarily need another guy like Brisker considering you already have a guy of the same style in Elliott, like you said.
Right.
I don't think you need two of that.
I'll bring in another name. And I always liked this guy from the Cincinnati days, Kobe Bryant.
Good old number 8.
Kobe. I wouldn't mind bringing him
in. He had a great season last year.
He had a really good year under, you know, the Seahawks and Mike McDonald being Super Bowl champions. And they had 4 picks last year. Like, he did really well for the Seahawks last season. I wouldn't mind bringing him in as another young option. Frankly, if the Steelers want to go young and they want to replace that position, they actually have some decent options in free agency. Like I mentioned, Curl, Brisker, but I view him more as a strong safety and like an Elliott, which we already have. So I think that'd be kind of redundant, but I'll put his name up there. So there's Curl, there's Brisker, there's Kobe Bryant, there's
Blankenship.
There's Blankenship. There's Byron Cook. I mean, there's names out here where the Steelers could actually spend some bucks and yes, add more to that defense, but perhaps fill that position for the long haul. I'm not saying Ramsey was terrible. I was actually pleased with more of Ramsey's play last year, and I don't mind keeping him at safety.
No, moving him to safety is what definitely benefited his year with the Steelers. Because with the slot, we saw, especially in that first Bengals game with Ja'Marr Chase, Ramsey just wasn't doing good. Well, even against T. Higgins, he wasn't doing good.
No.
Like him as a cornerback, I think those days are gone. He's going to be 32.
Well, perhaps
up in
not.
October.
Perhaps not. Maybe they view him as the slot guy. Maybe they want to keep Ramsey, put him back in the slot, and then go make a splash at free safety.
I don't know if I would do that.
I don't hate that.
I don't know if I would do that. I think if you're going to keep Ramsey, you keep him at safety. And then you sign a slot guy or look for a slot guy or draft a slot guy.
That's fair.
I think that's, I mean, if you want to go that option, you could. I just don't think that's really going to benefit Ramsey or the defense.
I'm just bringing it up.
No, that's fine.
Because you can get get the best of both worlds in the Steelers' opinion.
Well, because, I mean, like, that's one of the appeals to Jalen Ramsey when they made the trade was his versatility. And he still brings that to the table. There's no denying that. And that's a fine option to do. It's fine to throw it out there. I'm just not that big of a fan. I feel like if you're going to have Ramsey at his age, and he's only going to get older, of course, I think you keep him at free safety. And that way you can still move him around.
You can
keep him at free safety. You can put him in the box. If you want to have limited snaps at slot, fine. But as far as a permanent role in the slot, I wouldn't do that.
I don't disagree. I'm just viewing it as an option.
And it's fine to view it that way.
Well,
the Steelers could be viewing
it that way. Well, in that case, if you want to keep him at safety, but you know, move him around in sub-packages, bounce him out in the slot, put someone else at safety. Maybe that's an eventual rookie you want to get his feet wet in those positions there. It's, you know, the Steelers, their safeties, like, when you look at it from a depth aspect, you got Ramsey, you got Elliott, which on paper looks fine. Then the depth is an issue. Or you look at the age of Ramsey and his cap hit, that's a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
I don't think Omar Khan and the Steelers are going to do anything crazy in regards to, like, cutting Ramsey or releasing him where Ramsey won't be a Steeler next year. I think Ramsey will very much be a Steeler next year. It's just, you got to think of depth. You got to think of a contingency plan. You got to think of life after Ramsey. Maybe they're thinking of life after Ramsey already. Thus, there's option for agency. You can go in the draft and grab somebody day 2 as well. Like, you have so many picks in the top 100 early on that you can fulfill a lot of these positions early. Even if you want to keep guys like Queen, you want to keep guys like Ramsey, or you want to bring back Pierre, you still have so many picks to add more to the positions that you've brought guys back for, but maybe those guys could be the pieces to the future. They could be very good depth, and you don't have to play them so immediate, and then guess what? You might have your replacement in Queen because you selected a linebacker, let's say round three. You have the future at free safety when Ramsey walks or whatever because you drafted him round two, round three. Same thing for corner, right? Or slot corner, right? Like, that's the great thing about having so many picks is that, let's say Omar Khan is very comfortable with what was serviced with the defense last year, and he wants to run it back with a lot of those names with what will definitely be an upgraded defensive coordinator in Patrick Graham, because how can he not be an upgrade over Terrell Austin?
It's funny, considering every other coach that has not been retained by the Steelers, he's the lone one, I believe, that doesn't have a job yet.
Go figure.
No disrespect to Austin, but it's like, I'm not surprised by that stat.
Me neither. But let's say that Omar Khan was very pleased with their guys' with their production with a worse scheme and a worse coordinator. Now you have what will hopefully be a better coordinator and a better scheme. Maybe he's happy with those guys, but you still got to think of, some of these guys aren't really the full fixes based off of certain guys' production or maybe their age or whatnot. You still got all these picks to fulfill those roles. So perhaps Omar Khan can get the best of both worlds where he's bringing them all back, but still having the future replacements or just depth in regards for those positions.
Yeah, and that sounds like something that Omar Khan would definitely do. It's something that he's definitely done before, and something that he might continue to do, considering how many picks you have. It won't surprise me, but I will add this about Jalen Ramsey. He is a leader. He is a leader of part of that defense.
He's
If you remember before, I think it was before the Colts game, he actually stood up in the locker room and gave a speech to the entire team.
Yeah.
Saying, like, this is not what we're about. This is not how we're supposed to play. And the Steelers, they went out there versus the Colts as true underdogs, considering they lost two in a row before then, and they pulled off the upset in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And Ramsey, you know, like, his speech was very well documented from several reports about what Ramsey said in that locker room. And players, you know, attested saying, like, yeah, Ramsey stood up and said, you know, what he needed to say, and, you know, we all felt it, we all believed it, and we went out there and did what we needed to do.
Right.
So Ramsey is definitely a leader for sure, and bringing that back to the table, I mean, you can't really hate that.
No.
It's just the usage of Ramsey under Patrick Graham. I'm intrigued by it. I am. But in my opinion, I think I would just keep him at safety. That way you can move him around to the best of his usage.
I don't mind him at either. I really don't mind him at either, because I think he is good enough to play safety. And you're right. He is a leader on that team. He's a leader in the locker room. Like, he understands it. And on the field, he's very vocal, which I think we needed at the safety position, man. We needed back on the defense. We haven't had that vocal guy on the defense in quite a long time. Like, that guy that's going to take no shit from any other team or any other player on the field. Like, he's going to get inside their heads and mess them up mentally where they're going to be messing up on the field, right?
Right.
And Ramsey's going to let them know, not just with his words, but with his physical hits or his physical demeanor on the field. Like, he's going to let you know based off of more than one way of communication to that player, whether it's with his words or with his play on the field, right? That's the one thing I appreciate about Ramsey, man. We kind of needed that back. I'm all for keeping Ramsey. Like, if they want to cut him, save almost $20 million, I get it. Then you have a hole at safety. You have plenty of ways of filling it via free agency. If you want to keep Ramsey at a lesser cap hit, by all means. You want to move him around, by all means. Like, there's no really negative way of looking at it in that regard for the Steelers and Jalen Ramsey's future.
No.
But, I actually like the idea of keeping Ramsey moving around but still potentially bringing in names for the slot or for safety. I think Omar Khan actually has some ways of keeping it all together where he keeps Ramsey, he keeps Pierre, he keeps Queen, and he has all these picks, or he has this capital to spend and actually brings in depth at those positions, because that's what we need. We need depth there, and we need, you know, eventual, you know, contingency plans. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, and the same can be said about, you know, we talked about wide receiver. You know, like, he's got to revamp that. He's got to stockpile that. Guard potentially, right? You know, if he wants to bring in a veteran or even bring back Seumalo, but still draft a guard for him to learn under Seumalo and eventually be that replacement down the road. Like, the thing about the Steelers in this offseason and Omar Khan is he has a lot of flexibility. Like, a lot. Considering, you know, the amount of guys that he may want to look to bring back, right? But as well as options out there that he could look to bring in as far as free agencies for wide receiver, guard maybe, cornerback, yeah. right? Safety maybe even, right? You know, options out there, quarterback, I'll throw it out there. As well as the cap number that you have with, again, potentially, you know, more to add on with some cap casualties. I think those ones are obvious. And the 12 draft picks that you have. But also the option of potentially trading up to fulfill a position like we talked about with wide receiver.
Right.
Omar Khan, I feel like he's got a lot more flexibility than he did compared in previous offseasons.
He does, because he has numerous picks to use, whether that's for one reason or another. And he actually has some cap space to work with, more than he's had in several years, and with a cut or two coming soon, I would hope. Jonnu Smith being the most obvious one. Anyone else you want to put in there could be possible. I don't think it's going to be like a confirmed or an obvious cut, but I think Jonnu Smith is the biggest no-brainer, which will save you, what, $7 million? So that's going to put the Steelers roughly around $52, $53 million to work with, right? Which is a good thing. Omar Khan, you're right, Rob, does have a little more flexibility this year. Thus, go out and fix some of these positions, now, a bunch of these needed roles.
No doubt. And with that being said, I'm not going to get my expectations high this offseason with Omar Khan, you know, fixing this position and that position and drafting this and drafting that. I'm not going to have high expectations, but, you know, we throw these positions out there for you guys to kind of keep an eye out of, like, who the Steelers could target or what positions the Steelers could target. But the fact of the matter that Omar Khan, he has the capabilities of taking care of the majority of these positions.
Right.
It's all about him just conducting business and doing what he needs to do, as well as working with Mike McCarthy and what his vision is and what he wants to do.
Right.
It's going to be a hell of an offseason.
It is, because we are 2 weeks away from the legal tampering period. We are a little more than 2 weeks away from the actual new league year starting. Thus, guys, we should be seeing some sort of news and some sort of movement from all the NFL clubs pretty shortly. Maybe we get some trade confirmations. We get some more cuts happening. Perhaps in regards to the Steelers, we actually get a little bit of news where they're going to restructure some contracts, or they're going to move some folks around, or they're going to bring guys back. Plus the combine this week. There's so much to start to dig that we're going to start to dig into. As a Steelers fan, as just the NFL offseason really starts to pick up some steam, right? Yeah, you know, the Super Bowl's over. We've kind of had that down period. Now I feel like we're really going to start getting to that hill where we're going to get up and start seeing a big uprise in news and feed all over our timelines, which is going to be an exciting time for the offseason, man. I really can't wait, and I'm hoping Omar Khan does something this offseason where he's actually going to fill some of these needs with all the resources that he's going to have to his advantage, right? Again, like I said at the top of the hour, and Rob mentioned it just recently, I'm not expecting too much, and that's in regards to him cutting people or restructuring contracts or bringing in names, but we know what he has at his disposal. I just hope that he actually puts it to good use.
Yep.
And actually fills some of these needs, and we'll see what the Steelers do, man. Any other names you guys want to add, or any other positions you guys want to add in regards to needy positions or names for certain positions of your frenzy or the draft, by all means, let us know down in the comments. Let us know how you guys are feeling, man. 2 weeks away from all the good stuff starting to happen, and I'm hoping that within that time frame, we're actually going to get a little bit of news and a little bit of confirmation of who's coming back or who's not going to stick around. Or we'll see what Omar Khan says this combine week. You know, his comments and what he says is going to be very intriguing in regards to perhaps Aaron Rodgers or the yep. quarterback position or the wide receiver position. Maybe it's one of those things where we just take what he says with a grain of salt, but it gives us just a little bit of insight of what they're thinking in the front office. So I can't wait for that. You guys already know whenever he has those comments out, we'll be here to recap, we'll be here to discuss it, and we'll be here all offseason as it is starting to pick up just a little bit of steam, man. So we'll see you again later this month as well as next month for more Steelers content, and we will definitely be having our first Steelers mock draft out
yes.
before free agency very shortly. I'm hoping by sometime next week we'll keep you guys updated. Follow us on the socials, follow us on the community tab for that. Otherwise, we'll see you into the next one at the end of the day. Here we go, Steelers.
And as always, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you later.
Peace!